All praises due to Allah, and let Allah's peace and blessings be upon His Prophet Muhammad and upon His companions and His followers. And to proceed, so we've reached the lectures of Aqidah, in explaining the book Risalat al-Muhriya by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him. We've reached So it says, and we reach whoever only uses al-qadr on its own without tawheed al-rububiyyah, and we're going to talk about this. And we'll talk about more in detail about this in terms of how, what the Sufi and other groups think about this. So here, basically, what Shaykh al-Islam is saying, when he says, and those who use the Qadr only, and they explain it as they are fulfilling Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, means that you are only looking at the existence of God, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His singularity, and He is the creator and the sustainer, but you only look at the divine nature of Allah. You don't look at His rulings, you don't look at the Sharia, you don't look at the commands and what Allah commanded, what Allah forbid. As we said, last time, we said some groups believe that when you sin and you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, you are in obedience to Him because it is His will. And this is one of the flawed understandings of some of the various groups and sects. So in this case, these groups, they don't differentiate between what is righteous and what is wrong, and what is halal and what is haram. And so basically, the fact that these actions exist, they exist by the command of Allah, and they happen by the command of Allah and His will. So in this case, you say that there's no halal or haram. Everything is what Allah willed. So the author says, and he does not distinguish. If he does that, what we just stated, then he is not distinguishing between knowledge and ignorance, truth and lying, righteousness and disobedience, justice and transgression, obedience and disobedience, guidance and misguidance, and etc. So basically, Shaykh al-Islam here is showing you how you are neglecting all of these aspects of our daily lives if you go and just say that we believe in the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, but we don't believe in His Sharia, we don't believe in the guidelines that He established for us in order to be productive individuals in this life and worship Him properly. So they say, so these groups, they say the tyrant is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is following, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of him disobeying Allah, etc. So, and this was similar to the people of Quraysh, the disbelievers, the polytheists of Quraysh. They used to believe that, that they used to blame Allah's will for their disbelief, for their shirk. Right, they would say, if Allah had willed, we would not have associated partners with Him in worship. So, in this case, they blame their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. So then the author continues, additionally, these people are also basically ignoring, or they are negating the messages of Allah's books that He sent. And he says, furthermore, they are neglecting their senses. For example, the six senses, the five senses. So in terms of your senses, you know that intuitively, you're basically violating human intuition, that there's a difference between what is good and what is bad. Example. And then he says he also ignores his taste. And here the Sheikh Walid is stating that the tasting here is the tasting of the heart for iman and belief. So that when you taste iman, it has the same delicate taste as, you know, good food. He says he also negates the necessity of your human intellect and the ability to for judgment. So, you know, your better judgment tells you that there is a difference between what is right and what is wrong, and, you know, punishment and reward and etc. So, and a human has to be able to differentiate what pleases him and what harms him, for instance, what benefits him and what harms him, so what you can eat and what you can't eat, right? You know that you could eat foods, but you cannot eat stones or trees or etc. Similarly, then you have to differentiate between, you know, truthfulness and lying and etc. So the author says, and this differentiation between what is beneficial and what is harmful is the truth about the Sharia, the religious Sharia, the religious rulings, the religious guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon us and His creation in general. So then he says, and those who believe that a human could reach this higher level of consciousness or of existence, then these people are wrong in two aspects. The first one is that they go and they are contradicting the normal intuition, the human intuition. This is referring to the Sufi belief, who believe that there are some people who reach, when they reach a certain level of iman, they are exempt from doing anything, basically, because they became better than the lay people. So the Shaykh al-Islam says it is not possible for a human to be in a higher state of consciousness where everything is the same to him, where everything is good, you know, nothing is bad, and etc. He says that he might be clouded, his judgment might be clouded if, for example, he is intoxicated or he passed out, where something that would block the senses from properly analyzing the situation. However, in general, and he says, even those that lose their senses somehow, they don't completely lose their senses. It's just, you know, temporarily, and it's just it might be just for certain things. Like your judgment might be bad, for example, for vision when you're intoxicated, or, you know, you can't stand straight, but not everything. You know that you still know that, you know, hitting someone is wrong and etc.
يرى في منامه ما يسوقه يرى ما يسوقه، فحتى لو يعني فقد الإحساس في
And he says, furthermore, even the person that passes out or loses consciousness, they still, as long as they're still alive, they still have a sense of what is good for them and what is harmful for them.
وبعدين الأحوال عندهم من ضمن الأحوال اللي عند الصوفية التي يمتحون لحالة الاصطلاع. ما هو الاصطلاع؟ قال ولع أو وجد، عرف الاصطلاع هذا، قال ولع أو وجد غامر يجب على القلب أو العقل فيسلبه بقوة سلطانه. من حالة الاصطلاع الصوفية عندهم يمتحون الإنسان الذي يصل لهذه الأحوال ويجعلونها يعني
So the Sufia, they believe that, you know, there are individuals who reach this highest level of consciousness of God and of worshipping Allah and etc. And they call it Istalam. So they say that basically the longing of the worshipper for Allah, because he loves him so much, this longing basically strips his heart out of his body and raises him to a higher level of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, and basically they give up on the physical world and they go into a spiritual matterless world. So for them, when they say sukr or intoxication, they don't mean it in the sense that you consumed alcohol. They mean it in the sense that you've this love, this I guess intoxicating feeling, I guess, that you get from loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. So Ibn Taymiyyah says, even if we follow this definition of these Sufiya, and maybe this human could reach this state, he says, even if you reach these states, you still cannot lose the ability to differentiate all at once about, you know, everything becomes all the same. You know, right is right and wrong are equal, and lying and sin and truth are equal, and etc. Well, for example, if somebody came and hit him with a sword or something like that, he would be injured and he will feel pain. So if we went back to the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was the perfection of Iman and the perfection of worship in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he embodied that perfection. So we don't have anything. We know that they might have been tranquil by, you know, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and etc., but they did not, you know, feel that they're like this higher state of consciousness where they didn't worship anymore or they didn't do anything. And they didn't lose this rational frame of, you know, of reference as the Sufis are claiming. So in this case,
قال ومن نفى التمييز في هذا المقام مطلقا وعظم هذا المقام فقد غلط في الحقيقة الكونية والدينية قدرا وشرعا.
So he says, and the ones who says that, who just ignore this differentiation between what is right and what is wrong completely, then in this case they have missed the point in terms of the truth of about Allah's existence, the spiritual and the religious, meaning the spiritual existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe that Allah is the creator and the sustainer, and also the sharia, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have missed both points.
والمخالفة للحقيقة الشرعية من جهة أنهم اعتبروا هذا يعني كمال الإيمان وأعلى درجات المعرفة لله وكذا، مع أن الشرع لم يجد بهذا ولم يمدح من سقط تمييزه وسقط إدراكه وسقط المجانين الذين يصابون بالهذيان وكذا، الشرع ما مدح من كانوا في هذه الحالة، وهم أخطأوا شرعا وأخطأوا أيضا قدرا وكذا. قال غلط في خلق الله وفي أمره.
So he says he had made a mistake in terms of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commands. So the creation of Allah, that's the essence of Allah, the spiritual essence of Allah. And then he says, and furthermore he thought that he was being praised when there was no praise for such a behavior. Right, because they think that they are superior and better when they lose their minds in that sense of intoxication, if you want to call it. But the fact that they don't differentiate between what is right and what is wrong, they lost also the religious part of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the sharia. So now he's Shaykh al-Islam here discusses some of the expressions of the shuyukh of Sufiya. So he says, I want to that I don't want. So I want to not want anymore. So this is one of his statements.
يعني زالت عن الإرادة وزال عن التمييز وزال عن العقل والمعرفة وكذا بسبب يعني إيمانه فيجعلون هذا يعني درجة المقام.
Then they said, and the one who knows, the one who is conscious, has no luck, and that he is as the dead between the hands of the one who washes their body. And basically what they're saying is that these people lose their consciousness, the ability to differentiate, the ability to worry about worldly matters, because these people give up the worldly matters and they only focus on the spiritual matters.
يمكن أن نفسر به الظن أنه قصد بهذه التعبيرات بعض المعاني في الحق. فنقول أنه يقصد في هذه الحالة العبارة الأولى اللي هو أريد أن لا أريد، فنقول إذا أحسن به الظن نقول أنه يقصد أنه
So when it says, I want to not to want, so here we could, if you want to go and put good faith in the statement of the fellow Muslims and not distort their meanings, and you want to put good faith in it, so here they says that we could go and interpret this one, I want to not want, is to mean that I want to or desire or make the intention to not want anything that Allah has made forbidden. So he only wants to do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do, and he only wants to say things that Allah wants him to say, and etc. And then it says the second part, and the one who knows God, who is conscious of God, and then has no luck or has no share. So some people choose to explain that as meaning that if you are conscientious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will only have a share of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to do or you or willed for you to have as well. Then he says, and then the last part he says, and he is like the one who the dead between the hands of the one who washes his body. And here it means that you are submitting to the some. If you want to interpret it in the most positive light, it might mean that you are completely submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, meaning that you don't, you know, you are just in between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically it means when you say that you are completely submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means that you do not take something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to have, and you don't push away something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you.
فهذا القسم الثاني هو يعني من كان يعني يساق به الظن يعني سلوكه ومعتقده الباطل وسلوكه الباطل يجعلنا يعني نحسن من الظن في هذه العبارات فانه يكون يقصد بهذا ان ارادته تبطل بالكليه فلا يحس لا يفرق بين الضار والنافع ولا يميز بين الاشياء وكذا.
However, if you go with the, you know, with another way that might not, that you're not trying your best to interpret this in the most positive light, it meant what we said earlier, that if you are, you know, aware, like once you reach this higher state of consciousness, then, you know, you basically stop worrying and you know, everything is the same to you. In that case, it's incorrect. This meaning will be incorrect. At least the statement, at least, will be incorrect. Basically, the Sheikh is repeating what we said about if you took this in the most positive interpretation possible. So you could go and think that he might have had a good intention, although maybe the technically speaking, his expression, these expressions that some Sufis have might be incorrect. You might go with the belief that, you know, they had a good intention, that their intention was to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to submit to His will. So in that case, it might be good.
وأنه لا يحس باللذة والألم والنافع والضار لا حظ له ليس عنده إحساس باللذة والألم والميل بين ما ينفع والضر وكذا الميل بين النافع والضار وما يؤلم وما يحتاج إليه فهذا مخالف لضرورة الحس والعقل كما مر بنا لا يمكن كان هو أحسن يطلب أشياء يعني سنة الله الكونية يستحيل وجود هذه
And then Shaykh Islam Utaymiyyah goes back to analyzing their statement if it wasn't in the most positive light that we stated also earlier. And he says in the same thing that it contradicts the human intellect, that if you lose all senses of what is right and what is wrong and what tastes good and what tastes bad and etc., what feels good and what feels bad, it does not make sense. It does not obey to the basic human intellect. And here he says, and whoever praises such statements with that understanding, then he is contradicting the essence of the religion and the human intellect. So then the Shaykh al-Islam talks about al-fana, eternity, or everlastingness, I guess. So there are three types, he says, the three meanings to it. He says the first one is the everlastingness, the religious everlastingness that the prophets, peace be upon them, brought forth and that were revealed in the holy books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
من الشخص طلع من وجود الأعلام تعدم.
So here actually al-fana' does not mean everlasting, as I'm not sure how to translate it. He says the first one is that the first meaning, that the understanding that comes from the prophets and the books, is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do, so the first one is that anything that it negates that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do its opposite. Basically, you would not, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do something, say sleep for example, I'm just giving an example, then you should not do the opposite of that, the direct opposite of that action. And then they have another understanding, and we explained this before, is that the second understanding that some of the Sufis have is your preoccupation should only be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should not be preoccupied with anything else except Allah. And the third one is what we explained, the second one we talked about before, and also the third one where it says that everything that exists in this world is part of God, is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we're going to explain those in one, you know, each one. So the first one, as we said, that it does not, you cannot do something that Allah subhanahu, you cannot do the opposite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. So for example, you cannot worship others than Him if you are worshiping Him by worshiping Him. And you cannot obey Him by obeying others than other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a philosophical argument basically.
وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله.
That's based on Allah's statement. And you know, also you have to obey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, to obey his message, to obey Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Not the opposite of that. So you want to only want whatever pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any other way, basically. You want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ways that please Him and the way He asked you or commanded you to do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning this, He said, say, if your fathers and your sons and your brothers and your spouses and your concubines and your money that you've collected and any trade that you fear losing, and the house that you dwell in, if these are more beloved to you than Allah and His Prophet and jihad and striving in the sake of Allah, then wait for it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command will come. So here what it means is that you have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all the other material things, and love that which he loved, such as His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, striving for His way. And this is also known as sincerity, or ikhlas could also be defined in that way, that you do everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And you have no other desire except for that, for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says any technical terms that we're discussing, if there is a religious interpretation for it, then that is the best interpretation for it, instead of other modern maybe versions of that, the modern interpretations of that word.
استعمالها في معنى محمود ومعنى مذموم لكن لو استعملنا الإخلاص يكون أحسن، إن هو المصطلح الشرعي وهو محمود دائما. وكذلك أيضا لما نستعمل المصطلح الشرعي دائما من نفس إيه؟ تستحضر النصوص الواردة في هذا العمل الصالح. يعني مثلا بعض الناس تتعدى عن الجهاد في سبيل الله فيستعمل إيه؟ الكفاح والنضال وهكذا. ممكن هو قصد معنى الحق، بس يعني لكن كلمة الكفاح والنضال اللي ممكن تفسر بأنها مثلا قتال في سبيل الوطن في سبيل كذا، ممكن كلها معاني غير صحيحة.
So for example, maybe you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then there are some other people, and this is the correct way of interpreting, you want to fight jihad, for example, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then you have other people who might go and fight for the sake of their nation, for the sake of a political party or something like that, and this is the incorrect understanding of the sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fighting is not for a nation or something else, but it's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a way that you would corrupt your understanding of sincerity, for example, to Allah.
لكن على كل حال يعني يجوز استعمال هذه المصطلحات اذا كان في مخاطره من لا يحسن يعني غير عادي من باب يعني الترجمه او كذا، من باب شيخ الاسلام يكون بيناقش الصوفيه او كذا فيكلمهم عن الخناق يعني ويمدح لهم هذا النوع من الخناق وكذا، وكان يعني المصطلح نفسه بالروايات لكن طبعا المعنى المقصود به معنى الحق يعني
شيخ وليد went back to like for example شيخ وليد شيخ الاسلام when he said that he still, you know, allowed and praised what they, you know, if they said that their statements with the intent, with the pure intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is okay. He didn't want to alienate them in that sense. So it's another second type of fana, that which some groups of Sufis mention.
النجوم وكذا، فهنا يقول لك يفنى بالمعبود الذي هو الله عن العباده، يعني يقول لك ان مرات هذا الشخص يعني من قوه معرفته بالله انه قلبه متعلق بالمعبود فانشغل عن العباده.
So they say, so what they claim is that if your heart is consumed by knowing, getting to know your creator, then you stop worshiping him. So you stop doing the acts of worship, such as prayer and fasting and etc. Because you went so they say, we consumed our attention with the worshipped and we forgot worship. Basically, that's what they say. So similarly, would say they forgot, they preoccupied themselves or consumed themselves with the one being remembered, and they forgot to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by, for example, reciting the Quran or something. And this is clearly an incorrect view, because, for example, the Prophet is one of the most conscientious people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that did not stop him from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He still stood at night and prayed, even though all his sins were forgiven. He still fasted voluntarily, and he fasted when it was obligatory. He made hajj, he made jihad, etc., etc. He did all the acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, and he also showed his companion everything that his companions everything that would get him closer to Jannah and farthest from Nar, by farthest from the hellfire, by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly.
وبمعروفه عن معرفته، وبالمعروف عن معرفته بحيث قد يغيب عن شعوره بنفسه. هنا يعني المعرفه يقول لك يعني شرط المعروف الذي هو الله يعني عن معرفه نفسه، يعني اصبح لا يعرف الانسان، لا يعرف نفسه من شغله بالمعروف الذي هو الله.
So basically, you will go and somehow, you know, forget you by thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't study anymore, and etc., etc. So they have this way where they reach this knowledge of God or this understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that stops them from doing any other worldly endeavor that gets you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is physical.
بحيث قد يغيب عن شعوره بنفسه وبما سوى الله، فلا يشعر بنفسه ولا يشعر بما سوى الله، فلا يشعر بما حوله ولا يشعر بما يكون زي السكران زي الجنوان الفاهم الذهن الذي يحس بشيء مما حوله وكذا، ولكذا القوة الإيمان والقوة يعني معرفة بالله. قال وليس هو، قال فهذا حال ناقص قد يعرضه بعض السالكين، وليس هو من لوازم طريق الله.
So the author says, but this is actually an incorrect understanding, and we have not seen this from the Prophet ﷺ or the first generation of Muslims. And he says that there might be some that truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do these and behave in that way. And he might, you know, be so busy by remembering and thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he stops doing acts of worship. But that is a shortcoming from him. It's not a quality.
وليس هو من لوازم طريق الله، يقول هذا ليس من الامور اللازمه بحيث انه لا يمكن ان.
And he says, and Sheikh Islam, he makes another good point. He says, and these are not one of the necessary ways to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the only way. Like, you cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Sufiya, they say that this is obligatory, that for you to reach this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, you must enter this state where, you know, you ignore everything else and you only spend your time of contemplating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everybody else has a lower state of iman. And this is incorrect.
قال ومن جعل هذا نهاية السالكين فهو ضال ضلالا مبينا. ومن جعل نهاية السالكين دائما هي يذكرون في الكتب يعني طرقات الاولياء وكذا والفرائض الصوفيه وكذا يذكرون يعني عندهم اعتقاد من كل المجانين انهم ايه يعني يعتبرونهم من الاولياء والعارفين بالله، يقول دائما عندهم اعتقاد في المجانين والاولياء.
And they say, for example, the Sufiya believe that the insane, the person that is insane, is actually the most pious and the most aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people that are insane or act as if they are drunk and, you know, they have no real, you know, understanding of the world, they think that these are the most guided ones. So they said that whoever follows that path are you know, surely some of the most misguided people. So he says that it is impossible that the true iman could be when you are insane, obviously, or you act as an insane person, because that's what they claim. They claim that to only reach this true high iman, the stronger people with the strongest iman are the people who act as if they are insane or possessed or whatever you want to call it. And this was the second type of al-fana'. And then we have the third and final type. So he says, and for the third type, so they said that they believe that the existence of the creation proves the existence of the Creator.
So
And they say basically there's the singularity of existence in the sense that everything that exists in this universe, everything that exists that was created is God, is part of God. وَلَيَهَدِ بِاللَّهِ. And these are like Ibn al-Farid and others who had statements like these. And this is clearly a wrong belief, basically, or understanding.
فإنه إذا كان مشاهدا للقدر من غير تمييز بين المأمور والمحظور فعومل بموجب ذلك.
So here we talked about how they basically contradicted the essence of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about his worship, but also they also negated the use of a brain and deduction, basically how do you understand and make and you know come up with various rulings and understandings, not necessarily rulings, but how do you make decisions, basically, like basically they violated even those basic tenets or those basic rules of logic. And we talked about this before, when these people tie them, their destiny, they tie all their actions to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, well, if I don't pray, that's alhamdulillah, I should get ajr, because why? And I should persist on doing so, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it that way, and I am fulfilling the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am at least submitting to Allah's will subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the Sheikh of Islam used the example of, were somebody hit you and starved you, would you just say, okay, alhamdulillah, thank you for doing that, and you would go and praise him? No, because, you know, although it is the will of Allah in some sense, but this man had a choice to not hit you and feed you instead of, you know, neglecting you and beating you. And that's the same difference between the one who prays and does not pray or fast and does not fast and etc. Whoever observes the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different from the one who doesn't. So if you are using, so Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah says, if the qadr is your excuse, then anyone can use it as an excuse. You're not the only one who is entitled to use their shortcomings, to use the qadr as an excuse for their shortcomings.
فقد تبين بضرورة العقل فساد قول من ينظر إلى القدر ويعرض عن الأمر والنهي. لما إيه؟ يفنى في الحقيقة الكونية ويفنى في الحقيقة الشرعية. قال والمؤمن مأمور بأن يفعل المأمور ويترك المحظور ويصبر على المحظور.
And the mu'min, the true believer, he is supposed to fulfill what the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fast and pray. And he will stop and abstain from what is forbidden. And then he would also be patient and persevere on whatever was out of his hands, whatever was willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of he had no control over. So if a rock fell on the sky, you know, on your car, you know, you have to be patient and persevere. And you say, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed this. But that does not mean that you sit at home and say, well, if Allah wills to feed me, you know, food will appear magically, etc. And that's as if when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you are patient and you fear Allah, then your trials will not, their attempts or their attacks at you will not hurt you, basically. So, you know, in the real realm of things or the bigger picture, the transgressions of your enemies will not hurt you, basically. So if you are patient and persevere. And similarly, in the story of Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Allah and have patience, then Allah will not shortchange the right doers. So at the term taqwa, or you know, sometimes people translate it as fear in Allah, but the term taqwa means to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded and stay away from what He forbade. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and be patient, for surely the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And seek forgiveness for your sins, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the evenings and during the mornings. So as you can see from this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded repentance by being patient, basically, in this one. And additionally, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, O people, repent to Allah, repent to your Lord, for by the one whose hands is my life in, I seek repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 100 times a day. He says in one, he says more than 70, in another one, he says 100 times. So, but it's the same one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man who has his sins already forgiven, that he seeks repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 70 times a day. And he also to have another dua where he would say, oh Allah, forgive my mistakes and my ignorance and my shortcomings in my affairs and everything that you know about me. And everything that you know, that which I do not know, that I've done, basically. And he will say, oh Allah, please forgive me my mistakes that I committed knowingly and unknowingly, and what I committed while being serious and what I committed while joking, and all sins that I might have committed. Oh Allah, forgive me for what I've done, and what I've done now, and what I will do later, and what I've made public, and what I've made private, and everything that you know about me. You know everything. You know everything that happened, and you will know everything that will happen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give as well, to show the importance of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every state. So Adam is the father of the creation, and you know, for him he is the believer. He is a believer, and then he has children that are believers and disbelievers. And similarly, Iblis is the father of the jinn. And so Iblis is the father of the jinn. May Allah curse him. And he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever, and some of his children are believers and others are disbelievers as well. So, for example, we know that Adam alayhi salam, he sought forgiveness and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sought repentance immediately and sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was arrogant and he persisted on his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was not he didn't want to repent. He wasn't remorseful for his disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is true that the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the disobedience in general is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also you are commanded to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you commit a disobedience. So in this case, he did not. So had he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in that case, he will have been fine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the munafiqeen and man or female, and the mushrikeen male or female, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the repentance or will be merciful upon the believers, male or female, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. And additionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know that there is no God except Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. For your sins and for the Muslims, male or female. So similar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at first he says, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So do not worship anything except Allah. And then further down the line he says, and seek forgiveness from your Lord and repent to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's another hadith that was narrated by Ibn Abi Asim and others. And it's some consider it a weak hadith. And although it's weak, but the Shaykh al-Islam used it in the terms of the meaning, at least, to understand the meaning from it. So here's what the shaytan says. So he says, I have caused people to perish by their sins, and they caused me to perish by saying there's no God except God, and by seeking repentance or seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they caused me to perish by tawheed and istighfar, basically. So what did shaytan? So he says, so when I saw that there was no, that they always repented from their sins, I found a way that they would be something they will not repent from, and that's a bid'ah, basically, because when somebody innovates something, he is going to insist on it. That's why it becomes an innovation. It's because you keep doing it, that's how it becomes an innovation. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about our Prophet Yusuf, that he called there in the darkness, but surely there is no God except you, subhanaka wa ta'ala, and I was amongst the wrongdoers. And from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and rescued him. And then he says, and that's how we rescue the believers. Because of this dua, basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, single-handedly quantified him as a believer just because of the sincere dua that he made, alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yunus. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the dua of Dinnun to Sayyidina Yunus, there is no person that is in difficulty but uses dua except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal him from his difficulties. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and we'll finish the last few sections of the book and the next lecture. The Shaykh is asking if anybody has questions. So that, we'll stop here, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma hamdik shan la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Shaykh was asked the question about what is the original of Sufism, and he says that some people claim that it's from it was from people of the Sufa, the poor of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who lived in the back of his masjid. They used to be called the people of Sufa, but linguistically that is incorrect, because then they would be called Sufiya, not Sufiya. So and some people say that they were Sufis because they wore wool, because of Suf, which is wool that they wore even in the summer, in the winter, and all season they only wore this wool coat. And supposedly they used to worship a lot, and they used to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands.
يعني لباس مريح وتعامل لبس لباس مثلا مقضي او مضاد به او كذا يعني هو يجب يعني هو
And this wasn't from the example of the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ did not just wear clothes that did not, you know, fit the conditions. For example, he did not wear wool in the summer or anything like that, just to somehow seem weak for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
هو حسب يعني هذه الصوفية من أهل السنة والجماعة، حسب المقصود بالتصوف، إذا كان تصوف يعني ليس يعني مثل تصوف السابقين يعني في القرون الأولى وكذا، ممن كان يعني تصوفهم فقط مجرد يعني انقطاع العبادة والطاعة وكذا، حتى لو حصل عندهم شيء من الغلو أو كذا.
So they said that So what about these people that are openly Sufis, but they claim that they're from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? So Shaykh Walid said that, well, it depends on their degree of Sufism. If their Sufism is like the initial era of Sufism, and where they just, you know, they might have been extreme, where they gave up everything in the world and just worshipped, although they might have been extreme in that sense, but, you know, they did not do anything necessarily wrong, I guess. And as long as they did not corrupt their understanding of God, then that is fine. And obviously this is not to confuse. Now he's asking about, what about the people who worship the graves and the slaughter for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is shirk. That is the greatest sin that one can commit. And obviously those people who sacrifice for other than Allah are not from the people of sunnah, obviously. For example, Al-Ghazali, who wrote Ulum Ihya al-Din, the science of reviving the religion, he was a known Sufi, for instance. Or Ismail al-Harawi, for example, had Shaykh Ibn Qayyim translated a book from him called where he goes and explains about these terms that we discussed earlier, fana and other terms. But Ibn Qayyim obviously refrains and uses the definition of these terms from a religious point of view, not a philosophical one. So we said if any issue has some type of religious definition, then we go with that definition over some philosophical one.
بالنسبة لمسألة عناقة الصوفية من الاحتلال الأجنبي عن بلاد المسلمين وكذا، فمن باب الإنصاف يعني قلنا ليسوا سواء يعني، يوجد من المتصوف يعني تصدروا يعني الاستعمار الأجنبي وكذا، يعني بينهم عمر بن الخطاب وكذا وأصحابه، كانوا متصوفة يعني الطريقة السنوسية وكذا، وكانوا يعني متصوفة لكنهم يعني جاهدوا في سبيل الله وكذا. يعني كل المناهج كثيرة في الحقيقة الناس يعني كانوا من المتصوفة لكن تصدروا يعني على الإسلام وكذا وكذا وكذا، لكن كان صدقهم يعني يوجد أيضا في المقابل يعني كبيرة منهم كانوا معينين للاستعمار، وهذا أيضا من آثار الخلل الاعتقادي عندهم، هم إيه؟ إن كل شيء بقضاء الله وكل شيء بأمر الله، هذا حق يعني بس كان الحق هي غير باطل، كانوا يستعملون هذا بمعنى أنهم لا يقاومون في الأصل، أصلا إذا جاء المشركون محتلوا بلاد الإسلام فهو كده بقضاء الله، وكيف نفع إرادة الله وهذه إرادة الله الكونية وهذه كده وما أراد الله كان وكذا ما شاء الله وكذا، فهي كلمات حق لكن استعملوها استعمالا باطلا بمعنى عدم الأخذ بالأسباب وعدم الإنكار على المشركين وعدم الجهاد في سبيل الله وكذا، فهؤلاء طبعا وافقوا هذا من عند المستعملين فأذوا هذه الفئة
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.